Wherever the river flows, there will be life. You know, when I joined River, thanks to Rob Hayward back in the 80s, and I came along, and River had a logo then, which had the Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 9 verse underneath the logo. And when we as a leadership team have been praying and seeking the Lord and really wrestling over who are we in this modern day, in this day, in the 2010s, you know, who are we? We went back to the beginning and said, look, this is who we are. This is who God has made us. We believe that God has made us a river. We believe that he's made us a river, and that river carries life. And that kind of, if you want a quick thing of summing up who is River Church, what are we about? Actually, that is what we're about. We're a flowing, moving, lively bunch of people that like to bring life wherever we go in the name of Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean Angela. Let's do it, Ange. So we, thinking about how we might want to look and thinking about how we might want to communicate to the world, we thought this is what we want to communicate. And it's been on my heart to get this kind of communication thing on going since taking on the leadership River 6 years ago. But actually, there are other things, more important things to sort out. And so the timing is right for now. And there's a lot of people to thank for it, but we'll thank them in a minute. But I just want to show you a few things. And if you're a visitor here, this is going to bless you too, guys, because God has blessed us abundantly in this place. The things he's revealed to us and the things he's asked us to carry. So I know that as I talk about them, you are going to be blessed by Jesus. So get your hearts into receive mode and just know that your Father loves you right now. Right now. He knows what you need right now. And he is determined to move in your life to bring heaven to earth for you. So just receive right now. Just open your heart up to what God might say to you. So when we thought we gave this work to ABA, Alistair and Sandra aren't here. They're celebrating our 60th. They send their greetings. But they've done a lot of work for us, which I'm grateful. And their designer took what we said about wherever the river flows, there will be life. And he thought of a delta. And so he then stylized that delta into that funny thing on the top right. And then thought, where the river flows, there brings life. And there's the explosion of color coming through there. And he ended up with that kind of hexagon shape with the bright colors in it. You got the river flowing and bringing life to it. And speaking to Rachel Adeni before, and she said, there's also a lot of gold there and a lot of glory that's coming. And I thought, yeah, I like that. I should add that to the mix. Because God always brings glory. And so that's our logo. The colors don't look good. They look much better in the banners. And that's the true reflection. It's just the projector is not bright enough to give us the right colors. But that's our new logo. And that's what it looks like around the churches. There's one for the journey in the corner there. Look. So we can brand it in particular places. We can use it in banners. We can use it on Complete Life. We can use it on T-shirts or other things. But for me, you know, really, it helps us to explain who we are and what God's asked us to be. And that's helpful. That's the front page of the website. If you haven't looked at it recently, Tim has done a sterling work. Where are you, Tim? And it's under progress. It's under construction. It's going to take us a few months to get sorted, but bear with us. Maidenhead have already started using it in advertising their Easter campaign, their Easter meeting next week. And so you can see it works really well for us. You know, and guys, you know, this is not just a branding exercise. This is not just about looking good. Actually, this is things that God has spoken over us over decades as River. This is stuff we try to capture in these images, in this thing. We try to capture the spirit of what God is saying to us as River Churches. So it started off with that verse from Ezekiel. I'll read it out because it's not quite the way we've rephrased it up there. Ezekiel 47, verse 9, it says, "And it shall be that everything that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. There will be a very great multitude of fish." Oh, I like the sound of that. "Because these waters go there. For they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes." So then it's not just clever sound bites for us. The Look, Love, List stuff I want to talk a little bit about. That's not just clever sound bites for us. This is what we believe God has spoken to us about how he wants us to live as a community. These are the things he wants us to do on a day-by-day basis. He wants us to look on the face of Christ. He wants us to love everyone we meet. He wants us to live like heaven is near. And if we all give ourselves to these things, you know, I believe that we'll see revival in our towns and our communities. Really do. We'll bring so much life, it won't be containable. Amen? You up for that? Come on. Come on. And it all begins with looking on the face of Christ. Now, I had a little bit of an argument with Dave about this. Because Dave said, can't we change it? Because no one understands what look on the face of Christ means. I said, oh. He said, can't we make it just look at Jesus or look at Christ? And I said, yeah, that's easy to understand. And that makes sense. And we could communicate that very easily. But why do we have look on the face of Christ? Anybody tell me? Anyone want to shout out? It's just me that gets it. Who said that? Thank you. Someone shouted out intimacy here. Me and Angela again. We're going to rock this place. Come on! Two shall put to flight 1,000. Intimacy. You see, I can know Emma by watching her. I can watch her at work when she comes into the office occasionally. I can watch her when she's with her friends. I can watch her and get to know what she's like a little bit. Actually, if I really want to get to know Emma, I have to look at her in the face. I have to get to know her. I have to get to know what the looks communicate. She communicates so much with her eyes, with her mouth. You know. And actually, that's if we want to get to know anybody at all, it's in their face we have to look, in their eyes we need to look, to see into their hearts. As we're speaking to them, we need to do that. And really, we want to be intimate with Jesus, don't we? Everything flows. The Roman Catholic guy said it. Bless his heart. Everything flows from that point. Our life begins at that point. That river, that in Ezekiel, starts in the temple. It starts in the house of God. It starts in the presence of God. It starts in the dwelling place of God. It starts in the place where God lives and flows out to water the world. We're the dwelling place. You know that. I don't need to tell you. We're the dwelling place of God by his Spirit. We're the temple. The river starts in us. And it starts as we look on the face of Christ, as we get to know him intimately, as we get to know our God who is love, our God who is gracious, our God who is kind, our God who accepts everybody that comes to him, our God who heals people that comes to him. This is our God. Come on. And we see it in the face of Christ. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 says that. It's the glory of God's been revealed in the face of Christ. Not in his back or in his front. Or in the way he fishes or whatever. You know, it's in the face of Christ. Because the truth is we can only get to know God intimately through the Son. And, you know, guys, I love these banners. You know, for me, they just represent so much is in my heart. And so much of it's in the leadership's heart for this church. And I love the look that ABA has put in and Tim's put in. I love the fact that Maidenhead are going for a building for the church here. Yeah, come on, get excited. I love that. But you know, you need to hear this. You need to hear this. The glory of God will not be carried in a building. The glory of God's not carried in some stupid banner. Well, it's a great banner, actually. But you know what I mean. The glory of God is carried in you and me. The glory of God's always been carried in this image. There is nothing more like God on the planet or in the universe than the person sitting next to you. It's a bit scary. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a little bit worried. Only joking. You're the glory of God. You're the glory of God. You're the light of the world. You're God's children. You're God's representatives. You're God's ambassadors. You're the church of Jesus. You're going to bring this world into all of its glorious fullness and fruitfulness. You see, David learned this lesson back in 2 Samuel chapter 6 when he wanted to bring the presence of God into Jerusalem where he lived. He wanted the blessing of the presence of God to be with him. And they built a brand new cart to carry the Ark of the Covenant in. And they were wheeling it along the road and it hit a rut. And Uzzah put out his hand to stop it. And he died. And David got really upset. He stopped that day. All of his sacrifice and all of his dancing, all of his celebrations were cut short in that moment. See, the thing is, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God was supposed to be carried by the priests. God had already told them that 500 years earlier. The presence of God is carried by me and you. We are the priests of Jesus. And it begins as we look at Jesus, as we meditate on him, as we think about him, as we read about him in the scriptures, as we pray to him, as we worship and sing and dance and bat balloons around and thank him. That's us meditating. That's us celebrating and thinking and looking on Jesus. we've got to do it more, guys. Because that's where the transformation happens. That's where our own empowerment comes from. That's where our life comes from. The more we do that, the more we look at Jesus, as Dave would say, the more in love with him we become, because he is truly the most wonderful man, the most wonderful human being that's ever walked the planet. He's an inspiration. So we begin there. That's my own personal story. You know, Jesus said, didn't he, in John chapter 7, you know, whoever believes in me will never thirst. Come to me, all you are thirsty. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty again, because out of his belly will flow living waters. That's where the waters begin. They flow out of us. They come from heaven. They flow through us and out of us to water this world, to bring glory and life. Where are we going to go? And people aren't looking for that to be carried by structures or brands or anything like that. It's carried by you and me. We're not looking for anything else. That was my story. My story was I encountered Jesus. It changed everything for me. Someone bought me a Bible at university, and in reading the scriptures, I suddenly saw Jesus. And my heart was won. And then my brother became a Christian, and I saw the amazing things that Jesus did in his life. He was transformed. He became someone who I loved but didn't have a lot of respect for, to someone I loved and had a huge respect for. And Jesus did that in him. And so I gave my life to Jesus. And Jesus entered my life with so much joy, with so much peace, with so much hope, so much purpose and meaning that I've never looked back since. I just dance everywhere I go. It's fantastic. That was the story of a guy called Dave. Last time we met here, 2 months ago, he came in and he carried his head. There's a lot of darkness in his heart. That day, Jesus drove out the darkness and he welcomed Jesus into his heart. Because I want to say again that our God is a gentleman. He comes where he's welcomed. And if you are sitting there today and amongst all of this madness that's been going on about you, with people batting balloons around and being whacked by beach balls and dancing and shouting and singing, you know, if you've been sitting there thinking, what is this? This is not church. It is church. It's the life of Jesus that's bubbling out of us. And actually, I commend Jesus to you. Don't waste another day. If you're sitting there and you haven't invited Jesus into your heart, do not waste another day. Please, I beg you, come and see me or come and see someone else at the end. Talk to the person next to you or whatever. Find a way of actually inviting Jesus into your heart. It's the single best decision you will ever make. He's the most gracious and generous and compassionate man you will ever meet. And he will be your champion and your guide and your teacher and your provider and your protector. And life will be a dance. Won't always be easy, but it will be a dance. Love everyone we meet. You see, God is love. It's impossible to be like God and not be love. In fact, it was impossible to God to create one man in his image. If you read Genesis, it says that he created them, male and female, he created them in his image. Because it's impossible to create a single being in the image of God. Because God is three in one. He's a community. They're loving each other. So it's impossible for God to be represented by just one of us in that sense. He's represented by us as we love one another, as we serve one another, as we lay down our lives for one another. That's what Jesus said love is. Greater love has no one than this, than we lay down our lives for another. It's not about warm, fuzzy feelings. It's about actually acts of service, acts of kindness, not doing what I want, but doing what my friend wants. We're to love, he says, even our enemies. Crazy stuff. Jesus lays down some big challenges, but I love him for that. Because that means I can never settle. There's always room for improvement, Colin. So we love everyone we meet, not judging them, just as Jesus didn't judge. We don't judge. We love everyone that we meet, knowing that God is wanting to reach into their lives and be kinder to them and more gracious to them and more compassionate to them than we would want to be. He'll want to bless them more than we'll want to bless them. And see, people aren't looking for religion. So many people have been put off by religion. And rightly so, because religion's ugly. You can see the scars of it in our culture. You can see the scars of it around the world. Religion is hurtful and painful as people just try and tell other people what to do and try and control them. But actually, when you talk about love, love is freeing. Love is releasing. Love just sets a great standard for others to rally to. raises up the highest hope, and people are drawn to that. There was a lady on we took the Ignite students out on the high street yesterday. Some of them were petrified, but they were brave, and they all had opportunities to speak to people and to pray for folk on the street. And there's one group prayed for a lady who was behind one of the stalls, and she was very anti-religious. She said, "The God Squad's been up and down here all week scaring away the customers." And they daren't tell her that they were Christians. They just asked her a few questions about Maidenhead and then moved on. They said, "Oh, someone else will tell her later, you know." And then another group of Ignite students turn up and they tell her they are Christians. And she said, "Oh no, you're wearing the same badge as the other guys. I now feel really bad that I slated Christians so badly." And she said, one of the things she said, "I used to be a Christian. I went to a church, a lively church, and then tragedy hit my life. And I lost a family member. I think it was to cancer. I lost a family member and I lost hope in God. I lost my faith." That's why she's so anti. We've got to love people, guys. You know, I am desperate that we carry a theology. We carry something in this place, in this house, where we can deal with the pain of life, can't we? Because we know that life is not a bed of roses, don't we? I'm looking around this room. I know there are people in this room who battle daily, who struggle daily with all kinds of difficult things. And I see the way you do it, and I just am amazed. And I thank God. Because life is not easy. Life is tough. There is sickness. There is pain. There is relational difficulties, financial difficulties. These things do come into our lives. It's not all easy when we give our lives to Jesus. And if we think it is, we're heading for a fall. We've got to know that God's will is not always being done. That God is the God who loves and is desperate to get involved in all of our lives more and more and more. But he comes only as we invite him. And even then, sometimes in the mysterious battles that go on in the heavenlies, even then his will's not being done. So there's a complex, mysterious thing going on in this world. But we've got to know that God is love, and he is wanting and working for all of his might to bring about good in our lives. The Bible tells us that. Nothing can separate us from that love. It works in all things, it says. It's working right now in every situation in your life for good. Keep inviting him in, because it's a powerful prayer. Keep praying the Lord's Prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Every time we do that, every time we say those words, we invite God's activity in our lives. We're inviting heaven to break in. And God is looking to break in. I met a double glazing salesman this week. He said, talking about loving our enemies. That's a bad joke. This guy was a really nice guy. But I met a few nice double glazing salesmen this week. Funny. I met this guy before. He remembered I was leading River, actually. But he was brought up a Catholic, and he realized that actually he didn't want religion. So at the age of 15, he turned his back on God and church. And then when a member of his family died, he said a younger version of you, he said to me. I thought, thanks a lot. I'm going to start dyeing my hair. My mum told me to start dyeing it when I was 18. Bless her. Started to make her feel old, I think. But, you know, he said he was different. He led a free church down in Hampshire. And he sorted the funeral out for I think it was his sister. And he said, "Do you know what? He was really lovely. He made God acceptable to me. He made religion acceptable to me. And actually, he made God trendy." That was the word he used. Come on. That may sound profane to you, to make God trendy, but actually I do want us to make God trendy. Because actually it should be the most easiest thing. If we present God well, it should be the easiest thing for people to say, actually, that is fantastic. That is good. Because God is good all the time. Amen? And there's this guy. God is speaking to him now. I hope we get another chance to speak to him. My godmother died this week. And I get a phone call from my godfather. And he said, "Colin, will you come down and do her funeral for me?" And I was choking, absolutely choking, because they're a fantastic couple. They hardly ever attended church. In fact, he attended church when he came to my wedding and loved it. And he mixed with the people at my stag night and loved the guys that came on that. But and he said to me something very interesting. He said, Colin, actually, he says, like most of us, I believe. And I never knew that. There was no... Oh, he's a good guy. Don't get me wrong. He's a lovely guy. Him and his wife, they treated me like one of their own when I was growing up. They cared for me and were always kind. But I never knew they had a faith. And he said, like most of us, he said, I have a faith. It's not worked out or practiced. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to use that line at the funeral of my Auntie Margaret. But what I say is we love everybody we meet, guys. We mustn't judge people, okay? Right, let's get going quick. Last bit. Live like heaven is near. And because once we carry the presence of Jesus, the God who is love, and once we are loving everybody that we meet, heaven is bursting through us. The Bible makes that very clear, that God is looking to burst into this world. That heaven is, there's a weight of pressure behind us, trying to push in. Jesus came announcing, that was the good news Jesus came announcing. The kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of God is within reach. You can grab hold of it. You can grab hold of chunks of it now. We can't have the fullness yet. The fullness hasn't come until we all say, your kingdom come. Then God will come and move in. But actually, not now. I don't mean every single person on the planet, but I mean the majority, you know what I mean? Jesus said, didn't he? He said, if you abide in me, if you're like a vine, like a branch, sorry, I'm the vine. If you live in me, if you graft yourself into me, if you live closely with me, if you live in close friendship or fellowship with me or communion with me, then you will bear a lot of fruit. If you do what I say. And what was his commandment? That we love one another. So basically, Jesus was saying, if we're intimate with him, living closely with him, and we're loving one another, then we can ask the Father whatever we like and he'll do it. It's the same thing. Intimacy, love leading to fruitfulness, answer prayer, and heaven coming. So Jesus said that was one of the last things he said to his disciples. So this is not just what God has been saying to River, that God's been saying it over the whole earth for thousands of years. We're just waking up to it. Let's recommit to that today. That's why we took the guys out yesterday, believing that God wanted to bring heaven to earth through us in Maidenhead. God demonstrated that when he healed Vince's ears in Maidenhead a couple of weeks ago. Where are you, Vince? How's your hearing? 90%. Fantastic. Well, that's a big improvement on what it was from 2 weeks before. So thank you, Jesus. That's heaven breaking in. Where are the Ignite students? You see, one of the reasons we run Ignite, guys, is because actually we believe that God is passionate. That river that flows from God's throne gets deeper the further out it flows from the temple. The further it gets from the church, the further it gets from the house of God, the deeper it gets. God is raising up an army today of people that know that they're loved, that know that they're empowered, that they're anointed, that they carry the presence of God with them to heal, to set free, to mend broken things. That's you and me. The light of the world, Jesus calls us. And so we run Ignite actually to kind of help people get into that way of being and living. So there's a couple of people going to come and just share a quick testimony. Come on down. We've got Sarah and Lizzie. Come on, give them a hand. And I, you know, Jan, Di, Jill Stott, myself, you know, we love running this program. We absolutely love it. It's fantastic. We see people transformed by it, empowered, released by it every year. And so just quickly, most people don't know who you are, Liz. You want to introduce yourself and say where you're from?
Hi everyone, I'm Lizzie, I'm from High Wycombe. You might know me from Dwell or Deeper or something like that. We sometimes go to those. But yeah, I'm from High Wycombe. And what I really wanted to share really was that Ignite has kind of, how should I put it? It's kind of restored something that I lost in myself. I've been a Christian for about 4 years. And recently in my church, we've had some really hard times, some really sad times. It kind of felt like I'd lost something that kind of made me kind of fundamentally who I am. My baptism verse was, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven." And people have always said to me, you know, you have this kind of light about you, you have this, you kind of shine for God. And I'm like, yes, God, thank you that I can do that. But I guess I kind of felt like my light had been put out. I don't know if other people thought that, but I certainly felt it in my soul. So I guess I feel like Ignite has ignited my light again. So I'm just so grateful to God for that. Yeah.
Hi. I'm Sarah. I go to Maidenhead. Most of you know me. Most of you don't. So I started Ignite because my husband bullied me into doing it. No, kind of. He did it. No, he said I had to do it. So I was like, can I defer it a year because I feel like I've only just got you back? And he said, no, I think you should do it. And I was like, okay. So when Colin asked us on Wednesday, you know, if we'd stand up, if anybody would stand up and do a testimony, I was like, nah, I've got nothing to share. Nothing. Until just now. And I actually feel that being on Ignite, a bit like you, has reignited something where I have felt I've been squashed for a very long time. And I'm not going to cry. Yeah, don't touch. That makes it worse. So anyway, no rejection issues. It's fine. I'll sozo those later. But yeah, so there's lots of things I've been trying to do and haven't done because I have believed the lies and I have believe them to be truths. And throughout Ignite, there has been days where I've loved it and I've allowed God to speak. And then there's nights where I've been like, I don't know why I'm doing this. And in January, I was literally like, I really don't know why I'm doing this. I need to stop, you know. And on Wednesday, quite literally, it's been a turnaround. I voiced it out loud to Jan and we spoke about it. And I feel like, why am I denying what I have been told that I'm supposed to do? I'm frightened. I am scared of what God has for me. So I don't want to do it. But actually, that's not who I am. So be warned. I'm coming.
Thank you. Bless you. Honestly, guys, Ignite is not easy. It is challenging, and it needs to be. Most of us carry around stuff we shouldn't be carrying. That's the truth. Jesus is committed to helping us let go of our baggage and to pick up his light burden, which is joy, life, peace, grace, healing. And honestly, I heartily recommend Ignite to you. If you've not done it yet, really there's no reason why you can't now. Now we run it on a Wednesday night. Please do sign up. If you've not done it before, sign up and do it. And if you did it 10 years ago or 8 years ago, do it again. Because actually these things, you know, we need to live in those places where we're learning and meditating on Jesus and having these good things put into us week in, week out. And there's not enough time on a Sunday morning. I've run out already. I've got so much more I want to say to you. Others are saying, thank goodness, now it's time for our lunch. But you know, this is what God is doing, guys. And we often say, if you want to know what God is doing, if you want a fruitful life, a joy-filled life, see what God is doing and join in with it. Well, I'll tell you, it's obvious when you look around the world, this is what God is doing. Not just in this country, but every continent of the world. He's raising up men and women who know that he is love, who know that he loves humanity, and know that he's longing to bring heaven to earth through his people. Not just through superstars, not just through the Benny Hinns and the Reinhardt Bonnkies, people that we might have admired from a distance, but actually through nameless, faceless, countless millions of us doing our little bit, an act of kindness to a neighbour, a prayer for a colleague, the life of heaven bursting through us. Come on. We'll change this valley. We'll change this area. And God is changing the whole planet. Come on, let's get on board with this, what God is doing. Barna research tells us, national research tells us that people are willing to hear. My Uncle Alan tells us that people are willing to hear. My double glazing salesman tells us that people are willing to hear. If we carry the life of the river. of God that flows from that place of knowing him. This week, a friend of mine, Lindsay West, who most of you know now, he was in Maidenhead, now leads LZ7. He led 300 young people to Jesus in school. Yes, you can get excited about that. And yes, it's messy, and yes, they won't all be discipled properly, and yes, all the kind of questions. But actually, 300 people responded to Jesus in school this week. I just tell you that as I finish, because that's a sign that things are changing in our land. And yes, some people are more anti, and some people are more aggressively anti, and some of the institutions are working harder at repressing us, but the life of God is irrepressible. The life of God is unstoppable. The life of God is just unimaginably glorious and will cover the face of the whole earth as people like you and me take that seriously. Come on. Let's do that again today, guys. I've got these beautiful banners made. We've got them made, and we're going to have more made to go around all the churches just to remind us of what God's asking us to do. But actually, this is about you and me. We're the banners that we want people to see. And so let's stand. And let's, if you want to, I mean, this is difficult because everybody's going to feel a peer pressure. But, you know, I just want us to commit in some way to doing this again. So let's stand. Kerry, do you want to play some music for us? And if you don't know Jesus, stand if you want to know Jesus, because he will come meet you, I guarantee it. If you need more intimacy, if the looking on the face of Christ, if you've looked and find it hard to read, hard to pray, hard to worship, hard, then stand. Commit to it. Through the pain, through the trials, through the obstacles, through the difficulties that are in front of you, stand, because God's going to meet you. If you're looking for an increase in love and actually you've got some relational issues, or actually you just want to learn how to love people better and actually love your neighbours and your colleagues and actually stand for that. If we want to be carrying more of the presence of Jesus out there where the water's so deep you have to swim, it's scary, but also the most wonderful thing to do, to pray for someone who doesn't know Jesus and say, Jesus is going to heal you, or Jesus is going to bless you today. Can we pray? If you need confidence to do that, to know that you really carry the presence of Jesus and stand. But let us stand together and commit again to looking, to loving, and to living in his name. To be this movement, this river that carries the life of our God, that this life might bring life to our communities and to the church in the love and power of our God. Come on. Holy Spirit, come right now. Minister your presence to this people. You say if we bless one another, if we speak the words and say, I bless you, if the priests do that, then they are blessed. In that case, Father, we bless one another. Lay a hand on the person next to you if you're able to, if you're allowed to, ask permission. But bless the person next to you. Lord Jesus, open our eyes that we might see your face, that we might know you more intimately, we might know you more nearly, that we might know you better and better and better, that we might be transformed from glory to glory and more truly, more nearly represent your light and your love to this world. Help us, Lord God, to love the unlovely. Help us to lay down our lives when everything inside us is screaming, saying, what about me? Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to lift our eyes off the waves of life, off our own storms, off our own difficulties, but also to step out and love those around us who don't yet know that there's a God in heaven who cares for them. Help us, Lord Jesus, to carry your presence out there into the world, into our workplaces, into our streets, into our neighbours' homes, into our friends' houses, into the shops, and when we meet strangers over coffee. Help us to carry your presence, not in weird ways, but in loving, kind, powerful ways that release the life of our God, that release heaven in our communities. Give us boldness, Lord God. We want to commit to growing our ability to release heaven on earth, knowing that's what you've called us to do as ambassadors of heaven. Help us to grow. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill every person in this place. feel your presence. Let us know your anointing. Let us go full of faith, hope, and love into this world, because we are the light of the world. I encourage you, if you need prayer specifically, there's a prayer team at the back of the prayer place. There's leaders down the front here. Please do not leave without having prayer for your sickness, prayer for your finance, prayer for your bodies, prayer for your friendships, prayer for your families. Turn to the person next to you and pray with a neighbor. But let's not leave this place without requesting God's help. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful body of people. Thank you that you're bringing life to the Thames Valley through our churches. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. We love you so much.